Jehani lo premadana koruna prachu koruna prachu Jehanilo prema dana koruna prachu Heno prabhu Kota gela acharya taku kaha morasaru parupa kaha Sanatan Kagadasu Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kahamora Bhajal Yuga Kaha Kavira Bhaja Yuga Kahavira Heka Kalekota Gila Koranataras Pashane Kutivo Mata Anale Pashibo Goranga Go Neranide Kota Gele Pabo Sesa pasangira sange ye koila vila has se sangana payakande Narotamo das Napaya kande Narotamo das Yehani lo prema danna Koruna prachu Ilo prema dana koruna prachu Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitacharya Austapeda Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Samaya Jananana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jai Iskand founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Param se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha. Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopada Sayam Kunda. Radhagunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavanam ki jai. Maturidam ki jai. Jagadadasami ki jai. Yamunamai ki jai. Srimati Lassi Devi ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All right. So read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. Seems like we've been singing this song quite a bit the last few days. So, anyway, notes. So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and we're going to speak about him. But first, we'll talk about Lord Chaitanya's traveling in South India. So, Omagana Timirandasha Garanjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his South India tour, and we actually were fortunate enough not to be on the tour with Lord Chaitanya, but to actually follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya as we did this tour. And actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he installed footprints of Lord Chaitanya in all these different holy places, all these pada. It's called a pada tirtha. That means tirtha actually means a place that's spiritual. You can cross back to the spiritual world. Pada means feet. So the footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we went, of course, we visited Shirachora Gopinath and Ramuna, Jagannath Puri, Mangalgiri, Singachalam, on the way down, and Tirupati, Tirumala, Aholbalam, all these amazing places that Lord Chaitanya visited. And finally, we arrived in a place called Sri Rangam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embarking on this tour. Sri Rangam is in the state of Tamil Nadu, South India. And it's right above the state of Andhra Pradesh. So, and the Tamils, just to give you an idea, the Tamil devotees, they're generally, I would say 99% followers of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And Sripad Ramanujacharya, of course, he's the Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya. And they are very dedicated to Lakshmi Narayan worship. And as far as Radha and Krishna, well, their idea is that Radharani and Krishna, well, they're just expansions of Lakshmi and Narayan. So that's their particular conception. Actually, objectively, we can see, and as will be shown in the pastime I'm going to speak about and read about, objectively, we can see that Radha and Krishna, or the understanding of Radha and Krishna and their relationship, is actually much more intimate and, let's say, intense and higher than the understanding of Lakshmi and Narayan. Although, basically, as we understand, they're the same persons, but just acting in different capacities. I mean, just like the other day we were talking about Chandravali in the Goloka Vrindavan pastimes. And sometimes people think that Chandravali in essence is the opposition party to Srimati Radharani. But that's only her play or pastime to evoke different emotions. She's actually a servant of Srimati Radharani. Anyway. So, and she's Shakti Tattva. She's not Vishnu Tattva like the rest of us. So Lord Chaitanya was visiting Sri Rangam. And Sri Rangam is actually quite an interesting place. It's situated on an island. Actually, it's not quite an island. It's what's called, we call an isthmus. Does anyone know what an isthmus is? That means it's surrounded on three sides by water. That's what, so it's like, and there's like a land bridge going to it. But so it's not precisely an island, but it is, anyway. And in Sri Rangam, the Varnashram system, at least when I visited, was followed quite strictly. You know, people who had different propensities according to their guna and karma, or different varnas according to their guna and karma, they lived in different locations. And that's actually good. I mean, like if you're an artist, it's good to live around artists, isn't it? You know, it's inspiring. And if you're a scientist, it's good to live around scientists. So that's exactly what Varnashram is. So in the central portion, right next to the temple, there's actually concentric like squares around the temple. Temple, of course, is Lakshmi Narayan Temple, Ranganath. A beautiful deity. I mean, the deity is actually from, I guess, from here, basically to the Vyasa Sun. That's how big the deity is. Maybe a little smaller than that. And he's lying down. Has anyone been there besides me? No. Anyway, and also in Sri Rangam, you have the samadhi of Sripad Ramanujacharya. What I mean by samadhi, it's not an ordinary samadhi, that you have Sripad Ramanujacharya's body is preserved. It's wrapped like in a mummy fashion. And you can actually still see the hair and the nails grow. It's easy, it's amazing. There's a deity of Sripad Ramanujacharya right in front of his body. His body is sitting up like in a meditational yoga position. And there's a deity, and that's the deity that Ramanujacharya, before he left this world, he actually breathed on the deity. You understand? And this is the deity installation, and that's right there in Sri Rangam, as well as many other wonderful things. There's there's the temple that the Alvars would worship in. Alvars are the ancient South Indian saints. And actually, some of them were ladies and some of them were men, and they wrote poetry about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's also Yamunacharya was there, because that's before Ramanujacharya. And there's some indication, if you go by the stories, that the temple was paid for by dacoits. In other words, the Sankirtan party was a bunch of dacoits. Anyway, there's a whole story there. They enlisted the dacoits. I'm not going to tell you what dacoits means, criminals. I will tell you. And that's how they built the temple. You know, because nobody, at that time, nobody wanted to build the temple. So they thought, you know, let's get everybody to give involuntary donations. I guess it's like that. Anyway. Certain Sankirtan parties that used to be there. What's that? Yeah, I know. Not all Sankirtan parties, but certain ones in certain countries, not America, but anyway. So dacoits. So anyway, so the temple was built like that. And so you got the Brahmins around the temple, and then the next square circle, concentric squares. Then you have the Kshatriyas, then the Vaishyas and Shudras. And everyone's very happy. I mean, everybody mixes. There's really no caste consciousness there. You know, you're not discriminated against because you're of a different caste, a Shudra caste. It's really interesting. It's not like in North India. In North India, you actually have, you know, people look down upon, discriminated against. It's just understood they have different duties to perform. It's quite a beautiful place. I mean, it's everyone gets along there. I mean, there's no racism, discrimination, or anything like that. And actually, in South India, everyone's pretty black skin, isn't it? And it, you know, obviously, there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that when it's really sunny, and it's better to have darker skin. And when it's not so sunny, it's better to have lighter skin. I mean, Krishna arranges these things. Krishna, you know, it's really amazing. You know, the skin, actually, there's a reason that people have different colored skins, because the vitamin D and the nitric oxide that prevents the coronavirus is produced by your skin coming in contact with the sun. So if you live in a very hot climate, it's better to have darker skin, because basically, because you don't need, because the sun's very strong. And if you get too much sun, then you get skin cancer. So we find that people who, because there's nothing to do with Gopal Bhatta, but I think it's good to explain it. We find that people from England, for example, who moved to Australia, where the sun is really strong, the skin cancer, the rate of skin cancer is really high. Really high from the Europeans who come there. So anyway, so in South India, that's why in South India people are darker. It's not worse. It's not better. It's just an adaptation to the local climate, isn't it? I mean, it's really interesting. So that's why there's different colored skins. Yeah, it's obvious. Not because people are less or better. It's just adaptation. You know, it's like we all have adaptations in our body, you know. Some people have bigger noses, smaller noses. Doesn't make them worse or better. So, anyways, let's get back to the story so I have enough time. So, Lord Chaitanya was in South India, and he went to visit Sri Rangam. And it happened to be the 4 months of the rainy season, the Chaturmasya period, when the sannyasis couldn't travel. Because at that time, there weren't good roads. I mean, even now in India, when it rains, the roads are flooded. So it's a little bit difficult to move around. So the monsoon season, basically. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the house of a devotee named Venkata Bhatta. Venkata Bhatta, incidentally, was the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami's uncle was named Prakashananda Saraswati. No, Prabhananda Saraswati. No, Prabhananda Saraswati. He was the uncle. And his other uncle was Trimala Bhatta. Anyway, so when Lord Chaitanya was there, people were just like astounded by his chanting. And finally, Venkata Bhatta, the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. And he was so happy to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay in his house for 4 months of the rainy season. And during that time, he had many discussions, but before we get to the discussion, I want to mention that Gopal Bhatta, who was very small at that point, was 7 years old, and he touched Lord Chaitanya's feet, and Lord Chaitanya picked him up, embraced him, his little boy, and he gave his little boy his remnants. Yeah, that's quite powerful. So sometimes people say, oh, sannyasis shouldn't play with children. Of course, obviously, not all day long. But, you know, it's good. I mean, I have some children that, you know, that sat on my lap, and now they're actually initiated devotees, like Padma Gopi. She was like that. She's a little baby. I remember when she was born, you know, and put her on my lap, and other people too. But not when they're over 10 years old, you know. Don't do that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually playing with this little boy, and Gopal Bhatta got a chance to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Lord Chaitanya had this very interesting discussion with Gopal Bhatta Goswami's, or Gopal Bhatta at that time, his father, Venkata Bhatta, because Venkata Bhatta was convinced that Lakshmi and Narayan were the superior aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm going to just read the English from this particular discussion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'll be skipping a little bit too, so we get everything done today. Said, your worship of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always, worshipful goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan. And she is certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my lord is Lord Shri Krishna, a coward boy who's engaged in tending cows. So trying to understand Narayan and Lakshmi, it's a very opulent type of worship. It's like the city as compared to the country. So that, you know, let's say you got a very, very rich man and his rich wife, you know, just like super billionaires. Like, anyway, I'm not going to mention any names. And then the girl really wants to associate with just some guy who takes care of cows. You know, some simple coward boy. I mean, that's a, you think this is really weird. Like Bill Gates' wife, you know, somehow or other, goes into a dairy one time and falls in love with what's happening. And not only, so however, my lord is Lord Sri Krishna, a coward boy who's engaging tending cows. How is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? No, she wants to associate with this little coward boy. It's described in the scriptures that just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha, and for a long time accepted vows and regulated principles and performed unlimited austerities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kali, this is a verse from the Bhagavatam, which we read, attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of the lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune for this end performed austerities for centuries, giving up all their desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kali got such an opportunity. And Venkatabhata, he knew this particular aspect of the philosophy. He said, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same. And the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. Since they're the same, and I'm skipping a little bit, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break her vow of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. And then he explains the philosophy behind that. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, I know that there's no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune, but still she could not enter to the rasa dance. We hear this from the revealed scriptures. And there's actually a quote here from the Bhagavatam. This transcendental favor, talking about the rasa dance, was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or any other consorts in the spiritual world. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, asks Venkatabhata, can you tell me why the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not enter the rasa dance? You know, please answer that. And Venkatabhata replied, I'm just an ordinary human being. My intelligence is limited. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Lord Krishna has a special characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. He says, by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Brajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants, this is the key, do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll skip a little bit. One who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi attains him in the transcendental planet of Braj, where he is known as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So in other words, you have to follow in the same mood as the inhabitants of Braj, not in the awe and reverent mood. Of course, right now, you know, we better figure out we're not the body. let's skip ahead a little here. The goddess of fortune wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. In other words, she still considered Krishna to be God, another form of her husband. So to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, you have to forget that Krishna is God. And I mean, this is a very high platform. I'm not advising anyone right now, unless you're ready for it. Anyway, so this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained things to Venkatabhata, and Gopalabhata was listening the whole time, and he actually surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prabhupada Saraswati, the uncle of Gopalabhata Goswami, also surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and actually he became a great Vaishnava. Later on went to Braj and associated with the other Goswamis in Vrindavan, was a great philosopher. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after these 4 months, got ready to leave Srirangam. And Gopalabhata, little boy, he's only 7 years old, remember, he started crying and crying and crying. He couldn't bear to experience the separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he had dreams of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which he perceived Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in Navadvip. And he participated with Lord Chaitanya in those dreams. So it was actually like a real experience. And in that dream, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to Gopalabhata that he was Shyamasundara. Amazing dream. So in that dream, he was instructed to go to Vrindavan and serve Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. But externally, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving, he told Gopalabhata, you stay there and you serve your mother and father until they leave this world. So that's a very interesting instruction. Not the same instruction that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically advised them, act in such a way that nobody can suspect that you're so Krishna conscious. And basically, when you get Lord Nityananda's mercy, head for the hills, you know, get out of here. You know, so that's because the mother and father of Gopalabhata Goswami were pure devotees, whereas the mother and father of Raghunath Das Goswami, they were devotees, but they were, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his wonderful way described them as like worms in stool. Because they were devotees, but they were interested in material enjoyment. You understand? And worms in stool means that as soon as you take a worm out of the stool, the worm just jumps back in. So in other words, it's like you know better. You know that Krishna is God. You know that it's ecstasy. And you think, yeah, I know all these things. Let me just jump back in for a while. Swim in the ocean of material stool. Anyway, so he served his mother and father, finally mother and father passed away. In the meantime, he was trained up by Prabhupada Saraswati, who was a sannyasi and his uncle. And when his parents were getting ready to pass away, they wanted him to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. He never got married, of course, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami accepted him as their brother, and they sent the message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Gopalabhata has now arrived in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased because they knew he was going to come. I mean, it's interesting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had met him when he was 7 years old, but Lord Chaitanya knew the future, and he knew that Gopalabhata was going to be joining them, and he actually told Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami that one day someone named Gopalabhata is going to come. And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent back up some of his clothing, a kopina, outer garments, and even a seat to worship, his seat to worship. You know, in other words, the seat that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu utilized. Wow. So it's amazing. You see, this indicates such an affectionate relationship that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with his followers. Is it? Imagine he just sends these things back. And in those days, of course, they didn't have quick delivery service. You know, Amazon. Sent it back by, however, you know, with the devotees. So, also Gopalabhata, Rupa Goswami, had a dream. And Govindaji, his deity, appeared to him in the dream, and he told Rupa Goswami that he wanted Gopalabhata Goswami to serve Radha Govinda. So it's amazing. The devotees were having all these dreams and realizations. And so then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he wanted to have his own worship too. So he wanted to worship Shalagram Shilas. So he went to Nepal, to this place called the Gandaki River, where all these Shalagram Shila stones come from. And he got 12 of these stones that are manifestations of Krishna in different moods. And he came back to Vrindavan. But when he arrived in Vrindavan, he was thinking, I'm not really qualified to worship Shalagram Shilas. And this is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And so many of us, we think we're qualified in different ways. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was a pure, I mean, we're talking about people like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was obviously a pure Brahmin his whole life. That means, you know, never even came in contact with meat or any sort of, let's say, vikarmic sinful activity, always absorbed in, you know, chanting mantras. I mean, this is a different status than we can imagine. I mean, just imagine. So he was humble. That's one of the qualities of a devotee is humility. And so he thought, let me go back to the Gandaki River. And it's a long trip. It's not that, you know, just get on a plane, fly to Nepal, take a helicopter to the Gandaki River, like devotees do nowadays. He went back to the Gandaki River, and that was probably weeks of traveling to go back to the Gandaki River, put the shilas back in the river, and he thought, I'm not ready to worship you, and they jumped back into his hands. And he put him back again, and they jumped back into his hands. He said, okay, I think I know what Krishna wants now. So then from that point, he kept them in a pouch around his neck. He always kept them with him. Of course, not when he went into an impure place like the storeroom or anything. But having these shilas, they're just stones with different marks on them. You know, they're about some of this big, that big. I mean, I know devotees with 3,000 shilas. It's incredible. I'm just thinking, what? What are you doing? You know? So I generally advise devotees, don't, unless you're extremely brahminical, to worship the Shalagram Shilas, because they're worshiped in the Vaidhi mood. Govardhan Shila is worshiped in the Raghunuga mood. It's a more open, let's say, relaxed mood. But Shalagram Shila is very intense. So anyway, so he was thinking with these Shalagram Shilas that he really wanted to have a form of the Lord to worship. And he was thinking, I really, you know, I see all the other Goswamis there have their deities, Radha Govinda, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha, all these different deities, Radha Gopinath. And so one day, a rich man came to him and offered him some jewels and cloth to dress his deities. Now, you don't dress Shalagram Shilas. And he was thinking, Krishna's really making it intense for me. So he went to take rest that night. And the next morning, one of the Shilas actually became a deity, self-manifested. It's called Radharaman. And you can go to that temple in Vrindavan today. That's one of the few original deities that are there in Vrindavan. And if you ask the Pujari, he can show you the Shila mark on the back of the deity. I think many of you have seen that. On the back of the deity. So that's a self-manifested deity. And that deity was manifested from one of the Shilas called the Damodar Shila. Damodar means Krishna tied around the waist, that Lord Damodar passed on. So as he was traveling around Braj, because these Goswamis would not just reside in one place, you know, build a temple and then enjoy life, because now we have to stay, but anyway. You can't live on a different tree every night or like we'd like to. So he would travel around Vrindavan, and he came across a Brahmin who had no son. And the Brahmin was really upset. You know, I have no son, because Brahmins want to have son to continue the family heritage. And he asked Gopal Bhatta to pray that he could have a son. And he said, if you give me a son, Gopal Bhatta, Goswami, I will give you him, my first son. Actually, when Prabhupada was wanting to preach in India before he came to America, he would go to rich men or people, and he would say, who had many sons, and he would say to them, just give me one son. You have 10 sons. Just give me one. No one gave him anybody. So so the Brahmin said, the first son is born, you can have him. 10 years later, when Gopalbhatta Goswami was at his bhajan kutir, there was a 10-year-old boy who came to him and he said, who are you? And he said, I've been sent by my father to serve you for the rest of my life. And his name was Gopinath Pujari. Later on became known as Gopinath Pujari Goswami. And he took care of Radha Raman for his whole life. And his younger brother, you know, the father lost all of his sons. He had his sons, but then they all went away. So it's like that. So younger brother also took initiation and served the deities too. Younger brother of this boy, Gopinath Pujari Goswami. And his descendants continued to serve the deities in the Radha Raman temple. And Prabhupada said that if you really want to see like really pukka, you mean a really fine deity worship, you go to the Radha Raman temple. Of all the temples in Vrindavan, this is the temple that actually has the most refined, perfect deity worship. Prabhupada said we can learn from them. And they're very, very favorable. The Goswami family there is very favorable to the ISKCON devotees. And they don't do anything other, they don't perform any sinful activities. I mean, even there's that whole story, the Goswami in the Radha Damodar temple, he would smoke sick bidis. Remember that story? Like Prabhupada was taking prasadam one time there. And this Goswami, he didn't want to, what was his name? I forget his name right now. Anyway, he didn't want to smoke in front of the devotees. So he went behind the door and he wasn't hidden completely by the door. And one of the devotees started laughing. And Prabhupada looked at him, why are you laughing? He said, look. And he was smoking bidis. Anyway, so that happens sometimes. Of course, we don't want to criticize, but it's just not something we want to do. So, many times Radha Raman revealed himself, the deity, revealed himself as Lord Chaitanya to Gopalbhatta Goswami. Srinivasacharya, the great Acharya, second generation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was initiated by Gopalbhatta Goswami. Gopalbhatta Goswami collaborated with Sanatana Goswami on the book known as the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a book on different regulations. Many of them are smarta regulations. Smarta means like for ritualistic Brahmins and don't really apply to us. I mean, things like don't eat carrots, things like that. Because they're, according to the smartas, you know, the really ritualistic people in India, at least the Brahminical ritualistic people, carrots are the bones and blood of sages. They're red. And actually, that means they're more nutritious. I love them. I'm sorry. Prabhupada had it. Prabhupada cooked carrot halva. Prabhupada used carrots, tomatoes. You know, so many things that Prabhupada did that really were not in accordance with the Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Prabhupada said the rules and regulations that are meant for India, for example, may not be applicable, at least all of them may not be applicable in the West. I mean, Prabhupada gave us four rules and regulations, ekadasi, you know, things that were practical for us. Prabhupada said, if you knew all the regulations, all these rules and regulations, you would simply faint and you'd get discouraged. So, and actually he originated the Shatsadharvas, which Jiva Goswami perfected and worked on later on. He wrote a commentary on Bilba Mangal Thakura's work, the Krishna Karnamrita. And he wrote Satkriya Deepika, which is samskaras for grahasthas. And also samskara Deepika, that's samskaras and names for sannyasis. And actually, Prabhupada didn't even follow that. You know, so you see, like Prabhupada, like he generally gave the, in certain cases, he gave a bhakti name to the sannyasis like Bhaktachura Maharaj. But in most cases, he just took the brahmachari name and added a Goswami or a Swami to it, like you have Tamal Krishna Goswami or Ridanana Goswami or my name, Veer Krishna Goswami. So, of course, I didn't directly take sannyas from Prabhupada, but when I was taking sannyas from Ridanana Maharaj, I told him, I said, don't change my name. My name was given by Prabhupada. And he said, you're not supposed to instruct the person who's giving you sannyas. I said, too bad. Don't change my name. And so Gopalbhatta Goswami, of course, the years that he appeared was 1503, and he passed from this world in 1578. And in Krishna Leela, he was known as Anangamandri or Gunamandri. Anangamandri, of course, is Krishna's cousin. Gunamandri, and oh, the Mandri gopis are actually young girls, like about 11 years old. At least they appear like, because it's not old or young in the spiritual world, but they appear like that to serve Radha and Krishna in very intimate ways. And they actually serve in more intimate, in certain ways that even the Sakis don't serve, because they're young girls like that. So it's a very exalted position. And so you have Rupa Goswami as Rupa Manjari, and generally the Goswamis of Vrindavan were Manjari gopis in their ontological positions. Okay? So on that happy note, Gopalbhatta Goswami ki jai. Radhika Lokananda ki jai.
What is the end of this close arms that I only shelter? The constant separation from them, I remain. Aradamadas, I'm going to